Hello, and welcome to Check Your Head, Level 15. With your host, Eclipse Bilky. Please forgive him. Howdy, y'all.
Cheers.
Why don't we get this glass filled up here?
How you been?
Ooh, whoa, watch the foam, it's going over the lip.
Sometimes it's not as good as others.
But sucking the foam is a little sparkle of life, kind of like sucking the juice out of the head of a crawfish.
It's not always good, but it's always an experience.
Speaking of experiences, what the hell are you doing back here? Didn't you get enough last time? You monkeys are sick in the head. It's a level this week instead of an episode. And I gotta explain the difference between a level and an episode. Let's talk about episodes. Why do I call them episodes? It should be obvious. What is an episode? An episode is kind of like when you fall down to the floor and start twitching and somebody needs to put something in your mouth to keep you from swallowing your tongue. That's an episode. And that's what we've been going through so far. Me? I'm just kind of flipping out and going with it. Well, this time it's a level. Level. I've touched on levels before and what I think they mean. Everybody's on different levels. You can't think of these things as being like a climbing level. Somebody's higher than somebody else. Well, yeah, of course. But these levels also extend out and left and right and other dimensions and other directions. A level isn't necessarily somewhere above or below somebody else. It could be along to the side or, you know, the wayside. So let's talk about levels. I said that people are on different levels of consciousness, and social standing, education, intelligence. Everyone on some different level. But, you know, don't lament. You can cross levels at will. And don't feel bad for the ones that don't reach the intellectual heights that you do. Because keep in mind, the statement, ignorance is bliss, really means something. Look in your own life. Isn't there something that you wish you'd never heard? Somebody had never told you about, or something you'd read that you can't unread and it's stuck in there? That's a level. Somebody came along and gave you a little nudge and knocked you up somewhere else, knocked you along to the side. And now you can't look at things the same way you did because you got a different perspective. It's all perspective. Perspective meaning nothing but how you look at shit. Look. Why do we always have to use the visual as the primary focus of everything? It's not how you look at things. Sometimes it's how you smell things. Sometimes it's how you hear things. Dogs smell shit that we can't even possibly comprehend. We just don't have that capacity. But is that dog smarter than you because it can smell a fart at 100 paces? Not necessarily. Not all of you. Some of you are stubborn dogs. At least when a dog is digging up something in the backyard, it's because he smells something funny and wants to gnaw on it. Some of you bitches just go out and start digging up shit and you don't even know what you're doing. But we're all on different levels. And some people can't see things properly. Or, you know, what is properly. Some people can't see things the same way that you do. Or I do. You know, anosmia is an interesting corollary. Not being able to smell anything. You could be in an elevator with 10 people, somebody cuts a fart. Oh, fuck. Everybody's got the same reaction.
Sometimes they don't express it physically, you can't tell, but a little wince, one of their eyeballs droops down, their nose twitches a little bit. Some girls will even cover up their nose and are like, oh God, I can't believe I'm smelling this. You're smelling somebody's ass. But guess what? That dude standing behind you, he can't smell shit. He's still smiling because he's thinking about something else. His mind is on some other level than yours. He's not worried about the way people look or smell or talk or cough or whatever around him. He's thinking about something far away from you. That's the trick that a lot of people have. Imagine you're in a bamboo cage in the middle of a jungle and you got somebody yelling something at you in a language you can't understand. There's gunfire and explosions everywhere. You can either be the guy in there whimpering and scampering around and pooping on himself, or you can be the guy that's sitting there smiling thinking that, well, shit, there's nothing I can do about this situation. I might as well take my mind and put it somewhere else that makes me happy, or even just put my mind somewhere that nobody can touch me. Om Mani Padme Hum. I don't know what you gotta chant. Sometimes you gotta go cock-a-doody pee-pee-poo. I do that a lot. Cock-a-doody pee-pee-poo, cock-a-doody pee-pee-poo. After about 5 minutes of that shit, I can't think of anything but sitting on the toilet. What do I do when I'm sitting on the toilet? Fuck, I read comic books. How do you like that, folks? When the explosions are going off and people are screaming and running and blood is everywhere and little kids are on fire, there's some douchebag sitting in the corner going, cock-a-doody pee-pee-poo, cock-a-doody pee-pee-poo, and thinking about being on the toilet, and that's keeping him calm. What are you going to do? That fucker's on a different level than you. How do you get to different levels? Fuck if I know. It's random and ridiculous. There's a way that I got to a different level a whole long time ago. Back when I was in high school, I was very curious about a lot of things in the world because, well, my mom didn't tell me about a lot of these things. Maybe she didn't know about them, or maybe she didn't want me to know about them. Doesn't matter. I don't blame her for anything. But one of the things is LSD. Look it up if you want to. Lysergic diocockadoody poo-poo. I don't know what it means. I've got the internet disconnected, so I can't look it up. What are you going to do? But LSD had an interesting impact on my life. The main thing it did was take my brain and knock it over to the left a little bit. Just a little nudge. I went, whoa, hey, excuse me. Sorry for the gravity. And everything looked strange and felt strange and sounded strange and smelled funny. And what was I going to do? I can either force myself to try to fight this shit and give myself a headache and ruin the experience, or you can just let go and flow with it and say, all right, I'll see where this takes me. Chink, 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 chink. You're looking up and all you see is a pair of tracks that go up for a certain distance and they hit a cloud and suddenly stop, and you're, why do the tracks stop? What goes through your mind at that point? Do you struggle to get the lap belt off and jump off the ride? No, most of the time you just sit there, white knuckle it on the rail, and start screaming. And then you go chink, 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 chink. And then you hear a roar and the wind rushes past you and all of a sudden things are happening at 100 miles an hour. And what can you do? Well, you hang the fuck on and scream. How did I get to this point? LSD, book, a song, poem. The look in somebody's eye, something somebody says to you. These are all things that can nudge you in another direction. So don't look at one single thing as being bad or good, or maybe you don't want it. Maybe you don't have to take it. A lot of things you can't avoid. And so you just have to grab the rail, white knuckle it, and scream your head off if you have to. Usually by the end of the ride, the result's the same. I had a friend lived across the street from when I was a kid. And one time we even got into a physical fight and he managed to pin me down and get on my face, and instead of whomping the shit out of me, he started saying words at me. Some of them stuck, some of them just bounced off. I couldn't understand. I was like, well, you're on me, I'm bloody, why don't you take the final swing, knock my ass out? He wanted to talk to me. And then he got up and walked away, and a couple days later, we were talking about it, and he handed me a book called The Tao of Pooh. Wait, I think I got that sucker up here on my shelf. Hold on one second. Guy named Benjamin Hoff. Now, I'm not going to proclaim this book as gospel. I'm not going to canonize this dude. It's wonderful what he did. What he did was he took... pardon? Yeah, I said I'm on my fourth Guinness, goddammit. He took a familiar character. Well, to a lot of people. Probably not a lot of people in the past couple generations. Pooh Bear. And tried to explain that Pooh was essentially a Taoist. Which I don't even really know what a Taoist is. It's just another word for a Zen Buddhist that, you know, doesn't want to claim that he's a Buddhist. And he still is claiming something. He's saying, I'm a Taoist. Any kind of ist is probably a problem because you're pigeonholing yourself and get stuck in there. Oh, I'm a Freudian. I'm a Jungian. Wait, those are Ians. What's the difference between an Ian and an ist? Oh, shit. Now I'm in trouble. So he took Pooh and put him in the context of being a Taoist or a Buddhist and tried to help you understand exactly where it came from. Hit and miss. I'd say the book was right on the mark where it wanted to go, but it's not really well written. I mean, the guy's not a poet. But he got it across to me. Him and the dude that kicked my ass. Hey, Mike Beaupre, where the hell are you? Miss you, dude. Talked to your brother a little while ago. He said you're overseas in Germany. You got stuck there because the wonderful girl that you married is a German national, and she had some problems with her green card, so I miss you, dude. Wish I knew how you were doing. Suppose it's great, though. I saw some pictures. Now, I was talking about how when you don't have the right perspective, which there isn't really one. The right perspective is usually just one that's a little off to the side of the one you are, and it's not really right. It's just corrective. It adjusts your point of view a little bit. You say, oh, well, that sucker has more than one side to it. I was just looking at one side, and here's the other side, and it's totally different. And then you take that side and another couple of sides, and you add them all together, and you have the whole picture. Hang-ups are my biggest problem. Hang-ups are all your biggest problems. Hang-ups are the things that keep you from getting over that precipice. Excellent visual right there with the hang-up, because that's what it tells you. You're crawling over something that's going to be your salvation, possibly, but when you get halfway over it, something gets stuck. And you look up, which is suddenly down to you because you're facing in the wrong direction. Gravity and everything is flip-flopped, and notice that you're stuck. What are you going to do? You can try to dislodge yourself. Some people just freak out and try to crawl back, and they figure, okay, well, this is as far as I can go without hurting myself, so I'm not going to go any further. Poor Carl Jung. That's where he got. He got to the precipice, got hung up, and couldn't get over. Funny thing, on his deathbed, though, it was said that he was reading D.T. Suzuki and Alan Watts and proclaimed Suzuki, saying, this is it. This is what I was trying to get to, but I couldn't. What happened? He got hung up. I live in a city full of all different kinds of people with all different perspectives and all different levels. Everybody's got a role to play. Everybody's trying to play that role. I don't want a role. Well, maybe for just a little bit. What actor doesn't want to take on that role is like, fuck yeah, let's do that movie. I'll be that guy. I'll be that girl.
Yeah, I'll be that girl, no problem. Slap a dress on me, a little bit of lipstick, hot damn.
They don't want to be that role for the rest of their life. They're an actor. They go from role to role. They change perspective. They change everything. That was just a role, though. Somebody else wrote the parts. You interpreted it. Everybody expected you to be that person, so you were.
But you're not that person anymore. You walked off. You want to be somebody else. And everybody keeps coming up to you and saying, oh, Mr. Green Plum, I love you. You're fucked. You're stuck in that role forever. They're hung up on it. You're hung up on it. How do you get past it? How do I get over hang-ups? I get pissed off when somebody runs a stop sign and it bugs me. Fuck. I'm just going to run the next stop sign I see. They ran that stop sign and got away with it. I could run that stop sign and get T-boned by some crazy fucker that was running the other stop sign. So it doesn't always work. Especially when you're mad about things like murder and rape and child molestation. You can't put yourself in that role. When you hit that moral, ethical boundary and you can't get over it, well then it's just stuck. Those things don't apply to me. That's my nature. Nature is an often overused word. Actually, I'd like for people to take the way that they use nature and swap that out for the word God, because it's fucking the same thing. The way they mean nature is the way I mean God. God is everything. God is the beer I'm drinking. God is the grass growing in my backyard. Actually, I don't have too much grass growing in my backyard. I'll let the weeds take over. One of the weeds is this vine that crawls along the top and spurts these little flowers. And they were annoying until the flowers grew, and then I saw that they were beautiful. My whole backyard was just a nice shag rug blanket of beautiful little purple and white flowers, and I thought, that's amazing. And then I got out there just this morning to take a good look at the blooms on the ground and squatted down, and I noticed that honeybees were buzzing all over them, tons of them. And I said, that's just beautiful. And the closer I got, the more beautiful it got. I could see that the flowers weren't just on one level. They had many levels. They started out as a little purple bulb and they had a ring of flowers around it, and then those little flower leaves petals fell off. It grew up to another level. More petals came out. And eventually it got about 10 tiers high. And the top tier was still a ring of flowers you could appreciate. They're still beautiful. It's the same thing, but underneath it looked like a corn cob where all the other levels fell off. That's where we're heading, people. The top part, the beautiful part that everybody should see, that's the culmination of everything. All the flowering, blossoming, and deciduous, I don't know, it's not the right word. Can't remember the right word, but the petals may fall off, you grow more petals, and there's a heavy corn cob of empty leaves underneath you. I wish I could say this properly. That flower didn't stop the bee from coming along. He didn't care whether it was on the first tier or the 10th tier. He doesn't have those kind of hang-ups. His perspective is, there's a flower. I'm going to land on it. I'm going to get what I can off of it, and I'll get on to the next one. If you ask me, that bumblebee is on a level that most of you fucking monkeys ain't ever going to get to, including myself. But all that shit just makes me want to have a funny book flashback. Feels right. I'm just gonna let it wash over me.
You know what time it is, sucker? It's time for the funny book flashback, turkey. Yeah.
What I've got here. I know I could have taken the easy way out and grabbed one of the books that I've mentioned before. Stack of stuff that I had lined up. I decided to screw it up. I grabbed a couple things at random. This one right here is called Stranger in a Strange Land. It's a rip-off press book by Bruce Bollinger. It says, more stupid tales from that aging hippie lost somewhere deep in the Bible Belt. Cover's great. It's got him sitting with his back to you and his backside to you. He's holding a beer and he's looking over his left shoulder and he's getting a tattoo on his ass by this dude. He's all right, I'm not even gonna bother to describe the cover. I'm just gonna scan this one. This is beautiful. Have a nice day. Fucking sweet. All right, I'm gonna do things. I just flipped it over to open up the bag, and the back cover says, the world's second scratch and sniff comics cover. Oh, crap. That's unfair. Which one do I scan for the cover? It's a Will Eisner-esque scene from an alleyway, but it's got Batman leaning with his right hand against a wall like I take a whiz, pissing on the wall, and you see the yellow dripping down, their bums sitting around, one's warming himself in a burning trash can. You see Robin in the background on a street corner of Gotham and... what is that? That you can't read it. He's talking to a hooker. Bum laying on the ground where the piss is dripping towards. He goes, "Jesus, now I see why they call you Batman." Wait a minute, I don't get that. Oh. Caught me by surprise. There's little bitty circles all over the place. One right near the urine dripping. One on the bum's crotch. One on the trash can next to him where the rats are sitting on top of. One on the ass of the dog laying on the ground next to him. They all say, "Scratch and sniff here." Okay, I'm going to open the book now. I'm finally going to open it. Oh, shit. You know what? We gotta press the button. There's a halfway depressed button already. Click. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Hey. What the hell? Now everything is clear. I gotta get the hell out of here. All right, Stranger in a Strange Land. Oh, got hit in the crotch by the other book. Not yet. I'm gonna... don't touch the microphone, please. As you can guess, the first part of this is me getting drunk as a skunk. And the second part's just a waste. All right, you just take a look at the cover yourself and enjoy it. This is classic. 1989, it says, by Bruce Bollinger. One of the latter-day rip-off press releases, original releases. Most of them after that point were, craptacular. I'm tripping all over everything. Most of them after that point were reprints. Took a break there to collect myself and contemplate hitting the button again. Oh, crud. Should I hit the button again? I really think I should. This book is intimidating. All right, let's hit this one more time. Here comes a button. Hey. Crap. Oh, mercy. So it starts out with a little bit of social commentary. And, back up a little bit. This book was published quarterly, and I only know that because of what it said in the book. I've only got issue 2. I want issue 1, and I don't even know if there's an issue 3. It beats the crap out of me. First page, these are sometimes one pagers, three pagers, four pagers, single pagers. First one is him and his buddy going out into the field looking for a place to fish, and they can't find the pond or the stream because all the logging going around has cut down all the trees and screwed up the stream, and there's only one little tree left, and one of the guys has to take a shit because he's got diarrhea, and so he grabs the tree and wipes his ass with it. It sets a tone for it. It says Stranger in a Strange Land. It says more stupid tales from that aging hippie lost somewhere deep in the Bible Belt. I know I've already said that, but that's the whole thing. That's his angle, is
some leftist liberal stuck in the middle of some backwoods, backwards ass motherfucking. There's tales in here like when he shows his dumbass redneck buddy as Woody. It's a classic 41 Plymouth Woody, and he says it's his baby, and it's, oh shit, my beeper went off, I gotta take off and take care of my car for a second, I'll be back and we'll work on it. His dumbass buddy rips all the wood off and says, you know, stranger, I think I liked it better in the box. Nothing but a chassis and a windshield. I don't know whether this dude was a Vietnam vet. It sure shows in some of the stories, like the one called Brie and Finish, True Twisted Tales of an Aging Hippie Lost Somewhere Deep in the Bible Belt. I don't know why I like that, I just do. Just the idea of being a stone fucker in the middle of a bunch of religious douchebags. But this, he's got a tale here. Since I guess it's all started back in Nam with the mission gone sour. He talks about his buddy Dan that was the gunner. He fucked up and swung out and started accidentally shooting inside the helicopter. And so everybody inside the helicopter shot his ass, but the bullet went right through his head and motherfucker lived and had some Japanese surgical steel and brass screws from Taiwan, big old square staple on the two sides of his head, and all of his buddies missing legs and arms and shit. Said old Dan never got back to 100%. Yeah, he got discharged, and well, that was 20 years ago. Dan works for the VA now, and he drives a truck and delivers some crap. It says he readied the shipping of dope. That's what he's delivering. He delivered the shipment of dope to Colonel Numberries. That's a guy's name, apparently. Yeah. He said he had no inkling that night that his life would change forever. He's driving along, and this old couple fucking driving towards him, got their high beams on. He freaks out and says, okay, turn them down. Come on, put them down. Put your low beams on, you shithead. Damn your fucking lights. He loses. Says his mind snapped in that starkly lit cab. Maybe a plate slipped, or maybe one of the screws was too tight. Maybe it was post-traumatic stress syndrome. Whatever. Old Dan's burdened brain had finally conceived the final solution. He goes to the local, says daybreak found Dan the first in line at the auto parts store, and he points at a sign that says flamethrower headlight, 500,000 candle power. He goes, that's it, that's what I want. This motherfucker takes about 100 of them sons of bitches and plants them on the back of his pickup truck and goes driving down the road wearing his flak jacket from his old NAM days. The helmet was clenched tight in the colonel's complimentary. Complimentary. Okay, let me back up. It says, the helmet was clenched tight, and the colonel's complimentary Cambodian gold log was lit. Then old Dan jumped in the pilot's seat and lynched the board up on the chicken coop for a test. Then hit the switch. And he goes, poff, spack, sizzle. Motherfucker burned up his own chicken shack. He gets up out on the road and finds that old couple heading towards him. Flips the light switch. Well, unbeknownst to him, when he hit this little speed bump a little while earlier, it tilted the whole motherfucking light array towards his cab. And when he, well, when he lit that sucker up, instead of burn up the old folks, he burned himself up. That's where this shit's heading, man. This is a great one. It's a one pager. It says, no one was certain how the fire started, although a couple old burnouts maintained that it was a stupid candle on the logo. You'll get that when you see the. He tells a story about when he had a little fire back in the fall of 78 in the middle of their annual Black Plague commemorative cotillion. He says, that was the fall we lost Belinda. That's the name of his pig. It shows the guys that they're fucking... He says, fuck it, the well's dry. Looks like we're in deep caca, and they're trying to put out the fire in this farm. He's screaming, more water, hurry, and it shows a line of guys, and they're pissing in buckets. And he says, he leans towards his buddy and says, faster, Wally. And Wally's chugging down a beer, and he's leaning against a keg, and he says, maybe it'll be quicker if we didn't have to recycle it first, huh? They're trying to put out a fire with the... Anyway, he said, you could see it wasn't going well. And leans towards him and puts his hand on his shoulder and says, sorry, stranger, we just couldn't save your pig. That was one swell porker. Geez, what are you gonna do now? Oh, man. The next story is called Just a Couple Ice Holes. Seeing a couple dudes fucking going ice fishing and somebody's yelling at him, I told you there's no fish under that ice. This is my final warning. Well, of course, these fucking truck douchebags are in the middle of an ice hockey rink. Look, what do I gotta tell you to get you to fucking go out and find this shit? And there's the page in here, and it says, fourth in a series, the Surgeon General talks to the Bible Belt. And it's got a little picture of C. Everett Koop up in the corner. He says, remember, folks, safe sex means sliding that mattress down so you're not banging your brains out on the headboard. Let me describe this scene to you. Well-endowed, plump little flower of a woman. She's laying back on the bed while skinny little Mac hat wearing guy with a bullwhip around him. He's yanking that mattress down so he don't bang his head on the headboard. There's all marks on the wall and sets of five showing how many times they've done it. She's holding up a picture of the poor boy's Kama Sutra pointing to a position she wants with a smile on her face. I don't know why that clothes hanger is hanging from the ceiling. Oh gosh, there's a dispenser for condoms on the wall, and he's stepping into a bowl of Skull Sucker, the dog who's stepping on his tail. He's chained to the bedboard. There's a bucket of axle grease on the side of the bed. It says at the bottom, next month, recycling those old used condoms for kitchen food storage. Oh gosh, hold on a second while I digest that. I'm gonna need another sip of beer. Oh, that didn't help. A lunch break in hell. Randy describes where he's sitting on the porch smoking a joint with his girl, and a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses show up, and he sprinkles some ketchup on them and feeds them to his pit bull. You are definitely going to like this shit if you're into that. If you like stories about backwoods bartenders who built a aquarium behind a big glass door and then they watched the guy, the plumber, drown behind the glass, I'm really not doing this justice, am I? I guess it's because I'm already wasted. You guys have witnessed that this night. I tried to just, keep talking for as long as I could and tell you about this shit. How long have I been talking now? I don't even think I'm gonna bother to edit this crap. Look, this is a beautiful book. I'm gonna go try to find issue one and see if there's issue two. It's one of the best. I put it right up there with the Harold Head and Fabulous Furry Freak Brothers, Stranger in a Strange Land. Oh, guys, I gotta leave you. I don't know how long I've been talking tonight. I don't want to know how long I've been talking tonight. I got a sick Guinness buzz on. I smoked a couple bowls with you. What more do you want? You know what I want? I want some of you fuckers to go and hang out at the forum, because it's gotten kind of lame lately. And that's, oh shit, I don't know the address. Ace Board Forums, but you know what? The easiest way to get there is go to the comic book haters / blogspot.com. I didn't even say that right. Go to the fucking comic book haters, man. Find the link for the forum and come say hello to some of us sick bastards. Oh god, you get to read all the horrible, twisted things that they've come up with. Oh man, you know what? What am I telling you to go there for? This is one of those levels you don't want to get hit with. And this is some of that shit that you can't unread. Well, I ain't your mama. I ain't gonna tell you what to and not to do. But, you know, hey, you can come there and tell me I'm a douchebag to my face, and under the practical anonymity of being on a forum like that, shit, I got no recourse. I don't know where you live. Hell, bring it on. It's beautiful, baby. You get to talk stupid like all of us dumbasses, and nothing happens. Oh, enjoy your freedom of speech while it lasts. I told you your freedoms are being eroded. You didn't believe me. Oh well. Well, I'm really saying goodbye now. I love you guys. And that's only because I don't fucking know you.